having so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
And now it's time for America's favorite daytime fun show.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. This is the George Plaster Show.
He is the holder of a PhD, an MA, a BA, and is a BMF besides.
Get in on the George Plaster Show. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Or online at WNSR.com. And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Friday, which means the weekend is upon us. So we ought to all be in good moods. Let's check in with the rest of the crew. Let's first say hello to Watson Brown, who joins us from up on the plateau. Watson, how are you?
I'm in a great mood, George. A lot of good football games this weekend. I'll be going to Nashville and watch that one. The old 69 team that beat Alabama is kind of getting together, some of us, and that'll be neat to see people. It's 50 years ago on that day.
I know. Gosh.
That we beat Alabama, believe it or not. 50 years.
Are you all being honored at the game?
I don't think so. I think it's just us getting together.
Okay.
And just seeing each other and doing that. So, pretty neat.
Gotcha.
Haven't seen a lot of those guys in forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
You know, a couple of them had reached out to me wanting your phone number. And it's possible I may have given it to them.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's so, no doubt that you were
If you have a good time, so I'll take credit. If not, I have no idea what you're talking about. So, do we have Terry McCormick on the line as well?
I'm here.
Terry, any honors you'll receive this weekend?
No, probably not. I am going over to be on a nice pregame show at Portland High School to talk high school football. I think Joe Dubin did that last week or 2 weeks ago, and so they've nice. Asked me to do that. I don't have a whole heck of a lot else going on right now, so
right.
I told him I would.
So your non-compete here at the station will allow that?
I guess so.
Okay, because sometimes you have to worry about that kind of stuff. So where will you be tomorrow night?
Probably watching the Yankees.
That's what I thought. Yankees and the Astros start tomorrow night. I don't know if you all have seen this this story, but the young man who pitched for Tampa Bay last night, Tyler Glasnow, can really bring it. He is he can throw gas, but he departed in the third inning, having given up 4 runs, 5 hits, no walks, and most notably having spurred some pitch tipping accusations from a few former big league hitters. Kevin Fransden and Trevor Plouffe were among those who alleged that Glasnow was tipping pitches. Plouffe even suggested he had all of Glasnow's pitches after seeing him in spring training, later noting that pitchers with unconventional hand movements were more prone to tipping. So, with that in mind, Watson, you played baseball. I broadcast it. I had a friend on the minor league level who was unbelievably good at deciphering this kind of stuff. And he kind of gave me a little crash course one day on what he looked for. Did you ever play with anybody who was good at that?
No. I mean, I can't just specifically say, but I know this. As a hitter, when you knew what was coming, it's a different world. And those professional hitters, and they know a fastball's coming, or they know a slider's coming, or they know a curveball's coming, that's a major advantage. And some of my better hits through the years were when I pretty much knew what was coming. Not pretty much, a lot of times did know. From somebody giving you a tip, or a guy on second base stealing a signal, or you know, different ways, but there is no doubt you're a different man with a bat in your hand when you know what's coming.
Yeah. Whatever the case, it's now the Astros and the Yankees in a series that I think everybody is excited about that loves baseball. It's not the preview of the World Series, but it could be. It may well be the two best teams in baseball now going at it. In fact, given what the matchups are, sure it is.
Yeah, I mean, both of them over 100 wins in the regular season. And, you know, certainly to my way of thinking, the Astros have the advantage in starting rotation, but I think the Yankees have the edge in bullpen. So I think if you're the Yanks, you want to keep it close when you're facing the Verlanders and the Garrett Coles of the world and try to be in the game for the first six innings or so that you can turn it over to that bullpen and let them dominate.
Guys, I'm going to get into a story with the Patriots later around 2:40 that I want you all to react to a little bit. But I'm sure you may have seen last night Robert Kraft on Fox's pregame show sort of dropped the nugget that Rob Gronkowski, has not turned in his retirement papers. And then when Gronkowski, who was making his Fox TV debut last night, was asked about it, he admitted that, you know, I'm not totally sure, blah, blah, blah. Now, the one thing I did notice, he is noticeably thinner than when he played. But what do you all think? Is he going to come back?
I give it a year, and he may, but he's got a long way to go to do it because he's lost a ton of weight, ton of strength, and it'll take him quite a while to get all that back. So it's not anytime soon. It's not this year.
It's not this year.
I promise you.
Yeah.
No, he couldn't. There's no way. I mean, he's so noticeably thinner and less strength than he played at. So, and I mean noticeably. I'm not talking about 10 pounds here. So I think it would be an off season where he goes to work and just decides I'm going to give it another shot like Jason Witten did. It might be the same exact kind of scenario and give it one more shot, thinking that it might be Brady's last go. If he thinks it's Brady's last year, and he'd go out, kind of go one more year with him. I think that's the only scenario I would see, George, that he would do that.
Terry, in your pro football travels, have you been kind of hearing that he misses it?
Well, I think, you know, every time that you would see an interview with him, he kept saying he was done, that he was finished and all. And certainly, you know, with broadcasting and other things, he's looking at other endeavors. But as Watson said, sometimes with these guys, they, you know, they're beat up and they're banged up to the point where they're ready to give it up. But then, you know, after being out of it for a while, either they miss it or sometimes they can start feeling better and think that, you know, maybe they could make a comeback. So I'm kind of with Watson on this. I think it would be a long shot for him to return, and if he did, it would probably come back next year.
Okay, Watson, if you only had one college football game that you could watch this weekend, what is it?
I got two, but I would pick right now. I think I would pick LSU and Florida. The other one is Texas Oklahoma for me. But I was in that one. It's special. It's just different than any other college game during the year to me. It is, and because I was in a lot of the final season games with different schools, and it's just a special. But SEC, two undefeateds. One of them's taking themselves out this weekend. Taking themselves out this weekend. So that would be the one I think I'd want to watch.
You know, I asked you this a couple of days ago because the line came out almost a touchdown wider than I thought it would be. The line, I think, is 14. LSU favored at home. And I think you and I both agree Florida's going to play that game closer than that.
Be shocked if they don't. Florida's defense is a whole lot better. They just keep Nobody seems to give them respect, you know. Well, Florida's there, but. Florida's there, but. I'm telling you, that defense is really good, and they can rush the passer. They've got cover guys. Worry about their offense, but LSU's defense isn't great. So they may score a few more than they've been scoring because I don't think LSU's near what they've been on defense. So I think it's going to be a close game. I said it yesterday. I didn't pick it because I just didn't think Florida could win the game. But I think it's going to be a great game to watch. And I think it will be mid-high scoring. High 20s, somebody in the 30s, somebody in the 20s, something like that's what I think.
Yeah. And Terry, while you're on the disabled list, what's the one game you have to see?
Not counting the Yankees, obviously. But I would say probably LSU in Florida. Texas, Oklahoma would be a close second. Obviously, with that being my underdog pick, I have a vested interest in it. But I do want to see how the top half of the SEC shakes out. I think, there's three teams in the West all that are quite capable of knocking each other off with Alabama, Auburn, and LSU. And then over in the East, you've got Florida and Georgia. And I think, you know, like Watson said, somebody may be out of it after Saturday. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out because at the end of the year, you know, we may be looking at a one-loss SEC team going into the national championship picture if all these teams, you know, turn on each other and you know, upset each other and that sort of thing, just because there are seem to be five really good teams in the Southeastern Conference this year that are all capable of winning when they play their best.
So let me ask you all this question. Have you ever seen a game lose more luster than Alabama going to A&M? You don't hear anybody talking about it.
Nope, and that's because of A&M. They've probably been the top disappointment, George, in the SEC this year. They just don't even look like the same team they were last year. They could pop out of this because they got so many of these kids back, and you know everybody's patting them on the back going into the season. And Mon hadn't played great. The defense has sure been spotty. They can't run the ball very well, which is a major difference than last year. I think that's the reason. It's not Alabama. It's Texas A&M. They just have not been near what I think people thought they could be.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And I'll throw another one out there at you, George, that seemingly has fallen off the radar, and that's Notre Dame and Southern Cal. That one is, you know, used to be a huge game every year, and now you know it seems like one or the other is down every time they meet, and it seems to have fallen by the wayside a little bit.
Well, there's also out on the West Coast a little bit of a rumor that if USC loses, that you might have a coaching change earlier than later. I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't really know what good that does. To fire him in midseason, I don't get that, other than maybe you get a little bit of an edge on, you know, potential candidates, but you're hearing that rumor some.
That's unfair. I don't like that stuff. I don't understand it. I don't know why ADs do it, especially at a place like Southern Cal. I think you could come up with a pretty good list, don't you, when the season's
over? Oh, sure. Sure.
I mean, come on, man. It's not Texas San Antonio, you know. I mean, you're going to have a list of coaches that are very interested in that job. So I don't understand it. They're down to their third quarterback. I mean, give them a little bit of a break here. They're not very good, or they're just average. They're not Southern Cal good. And maybe they won't be, but maybe at the end of the year they do make a switch. But now that just makes absolutely no sense to me. But you've got an AD issue out there, and so you've got it. There's nobody in control. There's nobody in charge, and that leads to other people sticking their nose in, and before you know it, bad decisions are made.
Terry, think about this one. Wonder if Jeff Fisher would like to have that job.
Wow, that's a good thought, George. I mean,
I don't think you could sell it based on how things went for him with the Rams, but if you could somehow not have had the Rams thing, he'd be a viable name.
Sure he would. And I think, a lot of times when guys that come from the pro level, and go back to the college level, Pete Carroll rehabilitated himself by going to Southern Cal after he had not had much success with the Patriots and the Jets the first time he went to the NFL. And even Nick Saban and Steve Spurrier didn't have a lot of success when they jumped from college to the NFL. But when they went back to college, they, obviously had a lot more success. And, a guy like Fisher, if he's game for the recruiting aspect of it, of having to, wine and dine, the parents of 17, 18-year-old kids to get them to come play there, then, I think certainly they could do a lot worse than Jeff Fisher.
Last thing, it shouldn't have been last on my list. The Cardinals and the Washington Nationals open their series tonight. And all I can say is, oh, we should have been there. Okay.
You got the edge in this thing. Who do you like in this series? Just from the way the pitching matchups are now set, with both teams having gone five games in the division series, and just the way things, just the momentum. Who do you like in this one?
I like the Cardinals because Anibal Sanchez is going to have to pitch a couple of times in this series, and in at least one of these, he's going to get rocked. Remember, you heard that.
I will remember that.
That's an interesting comment.
Yeah.
Interesting. I like the Cardinals. I worry a little bit about the two top pitchers of the Nats having to throw so many balls here at the end of this last series. And then are they used later to let them get their time, and then they don't get to pitch as many times as they need in the series? I don't know. I lean toward the Cardinals, too, for different reasons.
I kind of like the Nationals. They've kind of got that destiny look about them. It really seems like to me the way they've been coming back and winning games in their last at-bat. And I know that, a lot of times when you do that, the magic runs out at any moment, and, Cinderella turns back into, the stagecoach turns back into a pumpkin, so to speak. But I think when you can throw Scherzer and Strasburg out there twice each in a seven-game series, I think that gives you a nice start on things.
Okay, we're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we're going to talk Oklahoma Sooner football. And I don't want to butcher Josh's last name, so I'm going to let him tell me his last name on the air. Josh is the publisher with Sooner Scoop of Rivals, and we'll talk about the big Red River Showdown tomorrow in Big D. 2:22 is the time. You're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio. With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard at Indeed.com/hire. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Mississippi State, a 6.5-point road favorite at Tennessee Saturday at Neyland Stadium. The total 52.5 in Knoxville. UNLV is a 14.5-point road underdog at Vanderbilt. The Rebels are 15-7 against the spread in their last 22 games as a road dog. Tennessee Titans plus 2.5 of the Denver Broncos on Sunday. The Atlanta Falcons laying 2.5 at Arizona. Cardinals are 8-12 against the spread in their last 20 games at home. NASCAR at Talladega Sunday, Joey Logano the favorite at 8-1. Brad Keselowski, a 5-time winner at the track, is 10-1. I'm Mike Sennett, WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
You wanted to see me?
Yes, please, have a seat. So here's the thing. When this company brought you on, we took a chance on you. You didn't have that four-year college degree we typically look for.
Right.
But we gave you a shot anyway. And since then, you've worked incredibly hard and given it your all.
Thanks.
You've been an important asset to the team, but I don't think you can be an intern here anymore. We want to hire you.
You're serious?
Absolutely.
Find your next great employee. Introduce yourself to the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
I won't let you down.
I know.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Innsworth is a kindergarten through 12th grade co-educational independent school located on two campuses in Nashville, Tennessee. The school incorporates a nurturing community with a challenging program to create a unique, joyful environment where students can develop the intellectual agility, self-confidence, and discipline they need to excel. Visit our website at innsworth.com to learn more.
Let's say hello to my buddy and former 1977 BGA classmate, James Warren. He's now the owner of Sir Speedy in Berry Hill. James, let's talk a little mailing services.
We do mailing for all kinds of folks, George. And I will say, if a business needs to boost sales or drive customer loyalty, they can talk to us. We'll have it covered. Our direct mail pros can get your company in front of the right people with our comprehensive direct mail and mailing services. Basically, all you have to do is share your goals with us, and we do the rest. Get the ball rolling and send your next direct mail project to us at rates cheaper than you can mail things.
Give me the particulars.
So our email address is print@SirSpeedyMusicCity.com. You can find us online at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com or give us a call at 615-832-9511. We've got you covered.
Hello, I'm Coach Bubba Spear.
And I'm Craig Light.
And I'm Greg Pogue, and we're inviting you to join us every Saturday morning at 8 for the 8th season of Prep Football Talk right here on Nashville Sports Radio.
That's right. Every Saturday morning, we'll get you caught on the action from the previous Friday night game.
And interview one of the top football prospects in the Mid-State and their head coach.
Plus, we'll take a trip down memory lane with our Prep Football Legend of the Week.
Prep Football Talk is brought to you by Freeman Webb, Nissan of Cool Springs, U.S. Army, Sam's Place and Sports Grills, Long's Insurance, and Speedway Motors.
Six is the time as we welcome all of you back. I am going to do my best on this, and Josh is a good sport. Josh, last name is McQuistion, and I think I came close. Josh, give me, kind of grade it.
That's like a 9, and for a first effort, that's a 10 out of 10. That is a very strong first go at the name. So really, I think the only thing I could dock you for was just the hesitancy. Just go for it. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Okay, but from here on in, you're Josh.
That is perfectly fine. That is the same name that every coach I ever had. I played on teams full of Smith and Jones, and I was always
right.
Josh.
I love it. Hey, let me ask one that has nothing to do with this game tomorrow, but it gets talked about a lot, this whole Lincoln Riley is going to the Dallas Cowboys. Every analyst throws that out there like it's some codlock cinch. And so I'm going to ask you, have you found one piece of evidence that really makes you believe that could happen?
I really haven't. And, you know, the thing – for a long time, you know, there was always the talk that surrounded Bob Stoops. And you could sort of make sense of it later in his career because Bob got very tired of the recruiting aspect, like a lot of older coaches. You know, they get tired of all the social media and all the chaos that goes into it. But at the same time, you know, with Lincoln loves that. He is as active as any recruiter on Oklahoma staff. I can't talk to a recruit that hasn't had multiple conversations with him. He likes those things. He likes aspects of college coaching that a lot of guys that do go to the NFL don't like. I mean, Chip Kelly being a perfect example. He got tired of all of that. I don't see that in Lincoln. Now, the other thing that was in common with Bob in his early years is Lincoln has a very young family. I think they like Norman. I think they like that it's a quiet town. There's not a lot of – there's no pressure. I mean, Lincoln Riley kind of, you know, walks on a golden carpet around Norman right now. So there's not a lot of pressure for him, and I think he knows it's a good, safe place for his kids to grow up. And so I think there's an element that he just enjoys about that. But if you told me 10 years from now he's in the NFL, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, I'm going to do – I guess I lied almost. I'm going to do a second question that, again, has nothing to do with the game tomorrow. Oklahoma's been very successful in getting into the transfer portal and getting quarterbacks that make a big difference. Is there a legitimate rumor to linking the Houston quarterback and Oklahoma a year from now?
It's one of those things that you can't ignore because obviously Jalen Hurts will not be on campus anymore. Oklahoma has not shied away from the transfer market. You've got to look at that. But I don't think that's in the plans, and that's largely because Oklahoma has a redshirt freshman in Tanner Mordecai that they like, and then signed the nation's number one quarterback last year out of high school is Spencer Rattler from Arizona, who I've watched repeatedly. He is one of those guys that when the ball comes out of his hand, it just looks kind of different. It looks special. Even when he's next to guys, you know, like Jalen Hurts, like Tanner Mordecai, like, you know, Bo Nix at various events that I saw them both at, you know, when they were in high school. So there is, you know, you don't know what will happen, and it wouldn't shock me if he went in that direction. But the thing that would kind of make me think otherwise is largely because of the relationship between Dana Holgorsen and Lincoln Riley. They're very close. They're good friends. They go way back. I would just be surprised to see Lincoln Riley make that move.
Talk to us a little bit about Jalen Hurts. We feel like we know a lot about him because we saw him a lot in the SEC. I didn't think he was as good a drop-back thrower as he's been at Oklahoma. Talk to me about the things they've worked with him on once they got him.
You know, I think there's a couple of things. And, you know, the question I get a lot is, where does the improvement of Jalen Hurts begin and where does Lincoln Riley end? And, you know, where do those two things intersect? And there's something to be said for Lincoln Riley is just – outstanding at scheming things in a way where you don't usually have to go past your second read to find an open receiver. He's not having to progress through three or four players. And that's not to say it doesn't happen and that Jalen Hurts can't do it, but it's always easier for a quarterback if you only need two and a half seconds to find where you're going with the ball. And I think you've seen a lot of that, and it's partially due to Oklahoma, really the competition level, especially the defenses they've faced right now, have not been special. So I do think they have worked with him. Really, the thing I noticed more than what I saw, you know, it's kind of a funny dynamic. You all are more familiar with him during his SEC time, while I've all obviously seen all the snaps in Norman. And I saw enough at Alabama that I always felt like, especially those first couple of years before Tua came along and Alabama made some changes to how they wanted to play offensively, I thought it was very much, okay, if you get to your second read, Jalen, and it's not there, feel free to run. And he still has some of that. And you can tell Oklahoma's kind of trying to break him of that a little bit to, okay, stay there. It's going to be okay. You know, your third option could come open. And just allowing his playmakers to get open and make plays for him rather than him having to carry so much of the load. So I think it's just they've worked with him a lot on being more patient in the pocket and not feeling like that clock is constantly going off.
Watson?
Josh, it's a little bit about the Texas-Oklahoma game. To me, this for Oklahoma, this is the big one because I don't see anybody else other than maybe Oklahoma State late, and their defense just hasn't been good. Their offense, I think, by then may be real good if they stay healthy. So, to me, this is the game for them, and you don't have to hype this. I was in it twice as the offensive coordinator there at Oklahoma, and it's different. It's special. Do you feel the kids know how big this game is, either other than it's the Longhorns on the other side?
What I like is that Oklahoma, really since Bob Stoops arrived, and, you know, and I think most staffs, obviously you would know better than me from certain eras, that I never felt like either one of these schools really has tried to shy away from what this game is. It's a big deal. I mean, even when the two teams are 4-2 or 3-3 and they're not particularly special and there's not all the things ahead of them that there could be for both of these teams, I think they, you know, Alex Grinch, who's Oklahoma's new defensive coordinator, came out this week and he was like, this is different. This is a special game. It's a special event. It's one of the rare moments in college football where not only is the game huge, but it's kind of a spectacle. You know, Coach, I mean, the state fairgrounds, the, you know, fans split down the 50-yard line. There's so much going on there that I think Oklahoma has always done a good job of embracing that. And you can tell, talking to the players this week, the veteran guys will talk to those younger guys and say, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. It's bigger. It's louder. Every moment, the momentum swings are massive. I mean, it's just one of those games where, you know, we always say the cliche, well, you can throw out the record books. It's true because one thing, there's always some variable that we don't foresee in this game that wildly swings things in one direction or another.
Where I think Oklahoma is better is defensively, and I think this will be the game to show that if they are better. How do you feel they match up? How many points do you think you can hold them to if there's not major turnovers by the offense or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I agree completely. I mean, I think what they've done this year, and I mentioned Alex Grinch coming in, what they have done is simplified things. It's not, you know, I felt like a lot of times under Mike Stoops, he wanted to guard against everything. He wanted to, you know, we're not going to allow anything. That's really tough to do in this era of offensive football. Again, you know that better than I do. And with all that kind of goes into, with Oklahoma this year, they're kind of, we're going to do what we do. We're not going to reinvent our playbook every week. And I think it's allowed players to not only play a little faster, but just be more confident. There's not all this thought and concern over, well, okay, we've got to check this, and we're going through this. There were times last year in that Texas game where there were players that were really the key, you know, the key point of what Texas was going to attack, and they're looking at the sidelines shrugging like they didn't understand what their read was on that play. So you've seen them simplify it, and I do. I think it's improved. I think tomorrow will tell us how improved this group is. But what I see is I see a defensive front that is just allowing their athletes to go make plays. Neville Gallimore is a guy that OU coaches have raved about for since he really arrived on campus as a much ballyhooed recruit. But now he's getting in the backfield. He's making plays. He's shooting gaps. Ronnie Perkins and Jalen Redmond, a couple of sophomores that were really highly recruited as well, all of a sudden they're starting to turn a corner and look like difference makers. And then you throw Kenneth Murray, who is as physically talented as any linebacker in the country, at about 6'3", 230, and can just run for days. He is your, you know, prototypical linebacker, and he looks so much better this year just because he's not thinking as much and just allowing himself to go make plays.
Last thing real quick with me is everybody puts Lincoln Riley in that air raid deal. I don't think that's him at all from watching his system. A lot of his stuff comes off the run, and they've been able to run the ball so well, and the little quick throws and play actions off the run has made it very simple for Jalen to me. Do you feel like they can run it that well tomorrow? Because if they do, I don't think they can stop the little things they do off of the run.
I couldn't agree more. To me, that's where he deviates from the Holgersons and the Leeches. He wants to, you know, at least be 50-50. If he runs 55-45 or 60-40, he's okay with that. That's not something – and I really think that's something he came to somewhat in Norman because they've got a great offensive line coach in Bill Beedenbow. They're putting – you know, last year had four guys drafted off of their offensive line. This group is young but may end up being more talented. So there is a reason for it, but at the same time, you're exactly right. That's where he really departs from some of that air raid conversation. As far as how I think they'll fare, Texas is really built up front to be a run-stopping defense. They've got a, you know, a 350-pound nose tackle. Their defensive ends are about 270, 280, but they're not really upfield pass rushers. These are all guys that are made to kind of eat up blocks and keep their linebackers free to roam. So what I expect is Oklahoma will run well enough to keep Texas honest. But I agree. I don't think, or I guess I agree with your sentiment. If Oklahoma does start gashing Texas in the run game, I don't know how Texas can cope defensively, because the pass game is going to be there. It's just a matter of how much can those linebackers and safeties get drawn up. And then you start seeing the big plays to Charleston Rambo and CeeDee Lamb and some of the stuff that Oklahoma has over the top.
Yep. Terry?
Josh, I want to go back to Jalen Hurts for a minute. We've all seen the transformation that he's had there with the Sooners. When he was at Alabama, I think a lot of people felt like he was a really good college quarterback, but not really much of an NFL prospect. And I think there were even some people who suggested that once he got to the pro level, he might be better off moved to a running back position. But since he's gotten to Oklahoma, obviously his game has blossomed even more. What are you hearing people say about his NFL prospects with the way he's played this season for the Sooners?
It really has surprised me how quickly the narrative has changed on that. And I'll be fully honest, I was one of those people that felt that way about Jalen Hurts. When I first heard the talk that Oklahoma was looking at him, I was stunned. I really thought if there was anybody that Oklahoma was going to go in the transfer market and pursue, it would be Justin Fields from Georgia. I thought that made a lot of sense. I thought he fit what they wanted to do. And I, you know, seeing him in high school, I thought he kind of had that upside. With Jalen Hurts, I thought this is a guy that's, you know, kind of the old cliche of a game manager. He's going to do things that won't hurt you. He's going to take good care of the ball. And I think, you know, people always want him to compare him to his predecessors at Oklahoma. If there's any area where I think he is superior to those two, it's his willingness to take care of the ball. Jalen he'll take 5 yards on a carry instead of flinging it 40 yards down the field and taking the risk of an interception. He's just, and you can tell how much Nick Saban is kind of hardwired into the way he looks at things. So I think that's been a big growth for him. But I, you know, as far as your question, I hear talk of him being a second-day pick. I mean, he's moved himself into that realm. And I can't help but wonder how much of it is born of Lincoln Riley's kind of become that guy. Anything he touches right now kind of turns to gold. Now, if Baker Mayfield continues to struggle the way he has early in the season, you wonder if teams start to say, that's a system. Maybe we want to step away from that a little bit. But at the same time, Jalen with his physical – I mean, the physical tools are all there. I mean, he's a big, strong, sturdy guy, can run, can pick up first downs with his feet, has a good arm. I mean, there's things to like about his game. But like I said earlier, to me, it's about his ability to be accurate even with inaccuracy. You know, where – not just, oh, he hit the receiver. Is he leading him? Is he taking the guy on the out toward the out-of-bounds line? You know, things like that where I think he has improved this year. But I would be really interested to really compare it and kind of see just how much the growth has been.
One more from me. In regards to Oklahoma, we've seen, you know, how prolific their offense has been over the past several years and being able to get into the national playoff picture. And you talked about the defense's improvement. If the Sooners are fortunate enough to win the Big 12 and get back to the four-team playoff, how do you feel like they will stack up this year against the likes of a Clemson or an Alabama or Georgia or Ohio State, the other teams that we all know are in that picture as well?
Sure. You know, obviously, like anything, it would come down to the matchups. Now, where I do think Oklahoma is helped is, like I said earlier, their offensive line is not what we saw last year. It's not a group that at times can just dominate just about any front in the country. But at the same time, when you look at Alabama, that group's not quite what we've seen in the front seven and just in defensively in general from Alabama defenses in the last few years. Clemson clearly is not what they were after losing 3 first-rounders. So, I mean, there is a reason to think, okay, maybe those groups, you know, they took their hits just like Oklahoma did. And if Oklahoma, with the offense, you're always like, there's really not anybody out there with Lincoln Riley and a good quarterback that I don't feel like Oklahoma can push into the 30s against. I mean, we saw them do it against that great Georgia defense in the Rose Bowl. Oklahoma, after a slow start against Alabama, really got rolling in the final kind of three quarters in the Orange Bowl last year. So there's no question they can score against about just about anyone. But that defense just has to be serviceable. They just can't be a free touchdown every time, because at some point, if you're facing a good defense, they're going to stop you. They're going to come up with a stop. And right now, or at least over the last 3 or 4 years, you could never count on that from Oklahoma. They would need one stop to get out of a game and get a win, that Georgia game being a perfect example. They just needed a late stop, couldn't get one, and ended up costing themselves the game in overtime.
Josh, you were really good to take the time to come on and be with us. Thank you, and I'll continue to work on your name so that the next time we have you on, I'll say it with confidence.
No. Like, I really, that was a commend. That was as good a first effort as I've heard. It's a tough one, and I understand. I appreciate you guys giving me the time, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you. We'll do it again here soon. Okay, we're going to go to the break. It's 2:43. When we come back, I want to talk about the New England Patriots, and I'm going to take an angle that you probably haven't thought of and then throw it at these guys and see what they think. You're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. And voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, the most romantic steakhouse in Nashville, and won the Wine Spectator Award for the second consecutive year, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu steak. For reservations, call 615-761-3707. That's 615-761-3707. Bob's Steak and Chop House, where complimentary valet parking is always available.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. 800-898-0816. That's 800-898-0816.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-649-4584 or go online, LynchTreeServe@AOL.com.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show.
The great Bob Saget. And for some reason, I don't know, I was by your Twitter account, I was blocked.
You never said anything. Wait a minute.
My mom wouldn't allow me to send you a bad tweet. I would never do that.
You are blocked. You are now unblocked.
Yes.
Holy God. Not only that, but I'm following you.
Oh, my. So now I'm nervous, Bob. I don't know what I'm going to do about this.
See, I'm glad this call happened. This is more important than radio.
It's the Greg Vogue and Big Joe Show on WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
A quick conversation that I want to have about the Patriots. They won last night. They're 6-0. Their defense looks great. And there are people running around going, man, this is scary. But this hit me last night. Josh Gordon goes out midway through the second quarter with kind of a nasty knee injury, and I don't really know what the prognosis is long term. But if you go past Julian Edelman, what weapons does Tom Brady have? I mean, they are thinner at the skill positions than I have seen them in a long, long time. Terry, I'll start it with you. When they play better competition, doesn't this have to start to factor in?
Well, it's certainly possible. I know that Philip Dorsett is also on the shelf right now for them. I think one of the things, though, that I saw when they were here this summer to hold those joint practice sessions with the Titans, Brady was throwing to a bunch of guys that some of those guys that were out there last night, Myers and Oslewski and those guys like that, and you could see how much he was on those guys, even in the practices. When they wouldn't run a route exactly the right way or they did this and he wanted them to do that, he did not hesitate to get it in their face and let them know that this is what he wanted and how he wanted it. And when I saw that, it's like I'm beginning to realize, you know, why this organization is as successful as it is. Now, they don't have the skill people that they have had in the past couple of years, obviously. And if Gordon's injury lingers, then, you know, they could be in the market for a big play guy that they thought they had when Antonio Brown was there for a week. And obviously they don't have Gronk. But the one thing, too, that not a lot of people are talking about is that the Patriots' defense is better this year than it's been in the last 5 or 6 years. That
way better.
Is borderline dominant.
So, Watson, does this ever start to show up? Or does Brady, because Brady has masked from time to time some scenarios when he didn't have the weapons, but if Edelman is it, can he mask this?
Well, first, there's no doubt they thought they had a problem or they wouldn't have gone after Antonio Brown. There'd been no reason to do that unless you got a major issue. And so they know that. If anybody, though, their system, the way it's built, if anybody can bring somebody else in, they do so many quick little things with the ball that I think that's where they've got a major advantage over the league offensively, is they really are good in a short amount of time. 2.5, 2.8, it's gone. And somebody's catching it, and somebody's running a whirl route, or somebody's running a crossing route, and they live off that stuff. If you go back and look at a lot of their teams since the Randy Moss time, they haven't really had the deep threats. That hadn't been the way they've been beating you, George. So the other thing that scares me a little bit is I'm starting to see for the first time Tom Brady slowing down just a little bit.
Mobility, which has never been a strength.
Yes. I'm just telling you. I'll give him one more year if he stays that, and that might be him and Gronk get together and say, let's just do it one more time or something. I can, for the first time, and I think Tom Brady's one of those sharp dudes. He's not, just like Peyton Manning, he's not going to hang around if he knows he don't have it. And I've watched many of those guys stay around forever when they go past their prime. Tom, I don't think, will do that. And I can see just a little. I may be wrong. We'll see as this season goes on. But I think that's just a little bit of it, too.
You know, Terry, there was a time, of course, a lot has gone down since then, when he had Aaron Hernandez and Gronk. They had such mismatches, tight ends, linebackers, safeties, however you wanted to try to play them. And they don't have that tight end right now.
No, they really don't. And, in fact, I think they released Benjamin Watson a week or so ago, which was a little bit of a shocking move.
Doesn't say much for Benjamin Watson.
No, no, it doesn't. But, it, you know, it's interesting, you know, that Brady's always been a guy who can make do with what he has. But when he does have weapons, he's unreal. And this may be the weakest receiving and tight end core that he's had probably since he was there early in his career and was throwing to the likes of David Givens and, you know, some of the other names, you know, escape me right now because it's been so long ago. But, you know, when he first was on the ascent, they didn't have a lot of big-name star receivers. And Brady made those guys better. And, you know, if Watson, you know, is correct in his assessment, if Brady is starting to slip just a little bit, that's where you'll notice it, is that you will not see those guys come out of nowhere making those plays for him, because he puts them in such a great position to make those plays.
Anybody else, I'd be prepared to say they're in trouble, but not this bunch, because they've proven me wrong too many times in the past. But I do wonder. Okay, we're going to go to the break. We'll wrap up hour number one. When we come back, you're listening to the George Plaster Show on WNSR, Nashville's sports radio.
I want you to listen to what is a very important message from my friends at Shield Law Group and my buddy Bill Kaloudis. Your credit report is really important. What if you've been the victim of identity theft, or you have an item on your credit that doesn't even belong to you, or you've been turned down for a mortgage, credit card, car loan, rental housing, job, or insurance? Okay, you get the picture. The credit report is vital. You need it to be the very best it can be. And for a lot of us, we don't even know what our score is. So that's why I bring on ShieldLawGroup.com. My friend Bill Kaloudis and his phone number, 615-742-8020. You know what? It might be the most important phone call you make all day. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kaloudis.
Looking for future leaders we can trust and believe in? Look no further than the high school student athletes right here in Tennessee. High school sports teach young people how to be effective leaders. It begins by making their grades and being on time for practice. It includes learning to listen, following directions, accepting responsibility, being a good role model. And it's about respect for officials, opponents, the rules, and each other. The result? It transcends sports. It gives us hope for the future. High school sports. There's so much more than just a game. This message presented by the Tennessee Secondary School Athletic Association and the Tennessee Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14...
31? I mean, 13?
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
I want you to listen really close to a message from the folks at ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis. Your credit reports are your financial report card. A good credit report is necessary to get a mortgage, car loan, and credit cards. Even getting rental housing insurance or a job is dependent on your credit report. Here's what blows me away. 40 million consumers have an error on their credit report, and 2 million of those are so serious they're likely being overcharged for mortgages, credit card debts, auto loans, insurance policies, and other financial obligations. If you want to know more about your credit report, I want you to contact Bill Kalutis at ShieldLawGroup.com or call Bill at 615-742-8020. ShieldLawGroup.com and my friend Bill Kalutis.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on The Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Kyle Larson snaps a 75-race winless drought to pick up the W in a playoff race from Dover. Up next is that little wild card race we like to call Talladega Super Speedway. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Kyle Petty, and you're listening to The Final Lap with Kerry Murphy.
And be sure to check us out at facebook.com/thefinallap. We'd appreciate it.
Okay, very quickly, guys, who wins Sunday, Titans at Denver?
I'll go with the Titans, even though, you know, I'm a little scared of it. They're the better team. They should win, even though it's on the road.
Watson?
I'm going with the Titans because every time we kind of get on them, they come back and play well. So I think it's their week to come back and play well again.
Okay, I'll talk to you guys on Monday. In the meantime, if you want a good laugh, I'm going to be Blair Durham today. Blair's stuck in a mediation, and the last time I did this, it was a disaster. So, be listening. Round 2 of the Hindenburg is coming up next.